my science mama.
I love my science mama.
I love my science mama.
I'm Julie Gould, and this is the Science Mamas podcast, where we'll be sharing tales and tips from the lives of mamas in science. Hello everyone, welcome back to Science Mamas. Today I'm sharing some of Salome Maswime's story.
The big thing is it's not an either or. We want to do both and we should do both.
Salome is an obstetrician, gynecologist and leader in women's health research. And she's also the head of global surgery at the University of Cape Town in South Africa. She has always known she wanted to be a mother. She has also always known she wanted to be a working mother. She has two boys. Both were born during her early career research years.
The first one was born whilst I was specialising, and the second one was born during my PhD.
As I am also someone who had my children at a relatively young age in today's society, I'm always interested to find out what sort of response people get from colleagues and friends when they tell them they're starting their family at a young age.
According to my line managers, timing was wrong for both of them, you know. that's what we get told, and that's how you're made to feel sometimes as a woman, and suddenly you need to, you know, it's now everyone's problem. How are we gonna manage this situation? And it's not supposed to be like that at all. And so yeah, I think we carry a lot of stress and pressure as women, trying to establish your family whilst also trying to fulfill your dreams and goals, career goals, science goals. So it wasn't easy at all, but I did find a lot of support, you know, from the people that I worked with, not necessarily approval on all of my decisions, but there was a lot of support to say, fine, take time, take a few weeks off, look after the baby.
Salome decided that she would continue to work towards her career goals while she started her family. And one of the first things she had to do before her first son was born was to negotiate her maternity leave, because she had none.
So I was on a 2-year PhD fellowship, and I fell pregnant, well, in the first year, but basically it was going to become an issue during the second year, because right towards, sort of mid-year during my second year, that's when I was going to deliver. And so I informed my supervisor, I informed the director of the program, and the main issue was there's no clause for maternity leave during a fellowship. So are you going to extend, you know, and or are you going to, there were no answers around it. No one had thought it out. So it was either your funding continues, but basically your fellowship still ends at the end of year two, whether or not you take time off to look after the baby, but you can't replace the time that you're taking off. That was the main thing. And so they suggested that let's all have a meeting together. And it was the deputy dean, the research director, and my supervisor. And it was, everyone was trying to see how can we help you make this work. And the good thing was I'd finished collecting my data. So there was a suggestion that rather do it by publication, spend the next few months working on each publication. Hopefully you're done by the time you deliver, but you know, let's see how it goes. And I did that, but by the time I delivered, I think I was on 3 publications. But, you know, it doesn't always work out the way that you've planned. And yeah, the main thing was my supervisor then said, take a few weeks off, and when you're ready, we can continue working. And I think I 8 weeks later, you know, I wrote to him, I'm like, I'm ready to continue now. But still baby at home trying to juggle everything, you know, but that was my story and how we made it work. And then the difficult issues were more with now conferences and traveling.
When Salome's first son was 2 months old, and then again when he was 3 months old, Salome needed to go abroad for a conference.
The one conference I had to leave my baby at home, go to Canada, leave a whole lot of express milk for him to have whilst I'm away. My whole family had to chip in and help look after the two-month-old baby. And the next conference was a month later. I had to travel with my, you know, my whole family and my mother-in-law to this conference so that while I'm there during the day, everyone's there to look after him. So much as it always looks like, oh, this is simple, but the real impact on our lives is it's you literally have to pull together so many people just to help you go from day to day whilst navigating all of this.
You sound like you have a wonderful support system around you to help you do this. Can you tell me a little bit about your support system and who's there to help you?
The main person has really been my husband, being very supportive of my career and often being the one who says, no, go for it. Go for this conference, go for this meeting, apply for this opportunity. And even when it looks like it's the wrong financial thing to do. But I think that has been the biggest thing. And then having parents and in-laws that have been very supportive of my career, who are able to say, it's fine, we'll help with this, bring the children, do this, and my siblings as well. And then, you know, we have a nanny who helps us with the kids, and just that whole network ultimately has helped in helping me focus on the things that I want to do with my career.
That sounds like a whole village of people helping. That's brilliant. So mum guilt, it's a very real thing. But how do you handle with it? Or do you even experience it or not? I know some people don't. So is that something that's real for you, mum guilt? And how do you manage it?
It's real. And I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. You know, they sometimes there are trips where you just feel like, oh, I need this break. And then there are trips where it hits you. Like end of last year, I traveled to Malawi for a week. And I didn't know when I was planning that it would be the week that both of my children have got prize giving awards at school. And so when eventually I realized the book is the trip has been booked, everything has been arranged, and I couldn't cancel. But now I, you know, the child that never cries when I travel was the child who cried to say, but you leaving me and I've got this thing next week. And you feel horrible, miserable. I've sat sometimes in you know, that first 5 minutes in the aeroplane before it takes off and you just want to cry. So I go through that a lot. But sometimes you need someone to motivate, to encourage you to keep going. And sometimes you realize why it was worth it to do both. And sometimes the kids themselves cheer you on, you know. Like this week, my son was telling me they're doing something medical at school and they're going to invite me to come and speak. And I was like, yay. No, suddenly it's like he's excited that my mom can come and talk about her work in my school. And then you see your kids being proud of you as well. And so that those moments keep you going.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what were your motivations for working and having kids at the same time?
Well, the one was, you know, I felt the time was right to have the kids. But then, and I always knew that, you know, I was going to be a working mom. You know, it was never a question in my life whether I was going to take time off. I knew my goals, my ambitions were I was going to be probably I'll have to be a super mom, if anything. But I've also felt the same thing, that we get to inspire our kids. We can be an example to them and help them model how they want to do their lives and careers one day by doing what we're doing. And it's always lovely when I hear, you know, one of my sons saying, I want to be a doctor one day, you know, then you know that you're inspiring him in the right way. He's not focused on, yes, you're not always here for me, but he's, if he wants to be that, he's also say, he, you know, he's seeing the balance in it all. So.
A little bit later on, when her children were 3 and 6, Salome moved from South Africa to Boston in the USA for a fellowship opportunity. For her career, it was absolutely the right thing to do. For her family, it wasn't as simple.
My husband, initially, he traveled back and forth to the US whilst in South Africa, and then eventually he resigned from his job and joined us right in time for us to move to Cape Town and take the whole family to a different city altogether. Boston was amazing. I think from a research perspective, it was amazing. It was life-changing. But being so far away from family and who looks after your three-year-old when you need to be at work. And, you know, it was the family side was the more difficult part of the fellowship. The fellowship was brilliant, but managing the family dynamics was the harder part for me.
So if you don't mind me asking, then what sort of solutions did you find to help you manage, you know, looking after your family and taking care of your children whilst you were doing your fellowship?
So one, it was learning how to do everything for everyone myself. And in South Africa, we get a lot of help, house help. But in the US, it's very different. You know, the rates that you pay for help are much more. So I had to adjust. You do everything for the kids yourself, getting babysitters when I needed to be at work at the same time. When I needed to travel, my husband would have to travel to the US so that I can go on it for a meeting or conference. And then, yeah, he goes back to work as soon as I come back. And then, you know, my colleagues would help wherever they could help. And then my mom came twice to, you know, come help me with the kids, help me adjust transition. So again, it was, you know, you need a village to help you adjust in a new country.
How did your kids find that year? And have you spoken to them about it since?
They enjoyed it. The older one struggled a bit more. I think the transition was quite heavy for him, leaving behind his friends and the world that he had known, and just the environment was so different from Africa. So it was a struggle, but by the end he had adjusted and had made a new home, and then time was up. So they took it differently. One really enjoyed it from day one and found his place there. The other one struggled with the transition. But I think we learned how much time you need to prepare the kids for it. You know, it's not as simple, we're moving to America. It's, you have to present every possible scenario, find the schools before you go there, you know, so that the kids know where they're going, what to expect. And I found us trying to discover everything with kids that are, you know, anxious about what tomorrow looks like, wasn't a great way of doing the move. But if we had taken time to prepare and to prepare them, they probably would have adjusted a bit easier.
I think even as an adult, that would make it a lot easier to go through.
Like when we moved to Cape Town, my husband and I came 2 weeks before, left the kids with their grandparents, found the school, found the house, you know, familiarized ourselves with the setting. And that was so much easier for the kids than all of us arriving at the same time. And
okay, brilliant. All right. So then, what advice do you have for people who want to be parents and scientists at the same time?
I'll particularly talk to women because I can relate as a woman. The big thing is it's not an either or. We want to do both and we should do both. And it's about planning and navigating and creating those support systems. And so the question should be, how can I do it and how can I manage it versus should I or not? I mean, the longer you delay having children, the more risks they are, speaking as an obstetrician. And the answer is not, you know, let me get my PhD and all of this first, and then later on, then I can start on the family. I think it's possible to do both in a very supportive environment. But women should also acknowledge their place in science as well, that, you know, as we should and can become leaders in science as well and be at the front of discoveries and leading. And more often than not, I think women put themselves second, and it's like, focus on the family or I'll let other people lead, but we need more women leaders in research and science.
Thank you to Salome Masfemet for taking the time to share the story with us. And also thank you to Bethany Kolbaba Kirchner, who is working behind the scenes to write the blogs that go alongside these podcasts. And in the next episode, we'll be sharing her story. She's an amazing mother who started her scientific career a little bit later in life after all her children was born. So thanks for listening, everyone. I'll be back soon with another insight into what it's really like to be a science mama. Bye.
I love my science mama. I love my science mama.
I love my science mama.